So last week, Pastor Sharon talked with us about the origins of baptism and Jesus' baptism. This week, we're going to be focusing on communion. So in the two scriptures that you are going to be hearing, you're going to hear the historical, the scriptural places where we get the ideas for what we do about communion. The first piece is going to come from the Old Testament. It's going to talk about the Passover. And the second is going to talk about the Last Supper, the last time that all of the disciples and Jesus were together in one space. And so between those two things, we get an idea of what God is calling us to do and just why coming to this table is so important.
From Exodus 12, verses 21 through 27. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go, select lambs for your families, and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood in the basin. None of you shall go outside the door of your house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you down. You shall observe this rite as a perpetual ordinance for you and your children. When you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this observance. And when your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this observance?' you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians but spared our houses.' And the people bowed down and worshiped." The words of God for the people of God.
If you're making notes in your worship guide for today, you are about to know where one of the accounts is for Jesus' words of institution of the Last Supper from Mark chapter 14. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God.
So you'll notice, if you do have your worship guide, that we are in the fourth week of our new sermon series for the year. What the Bible really says about dot, dot, dot. So the first 2 weeks, we talked about just what all is in the Bible, how the Bible came together. And last week, we started getting into some of the nitty-gritty things about what is important to our faith. And Pastor Sharon shared with us about baptism. And you may remember that when she was doing that, she was up here and she was putting her hands in water and she was flinging water at everybody. Now, I'm not going to fling dinner rolls at you. I thought about it. It could be fun, but I thought that having a food fight in church was probably not the best idea in the world. But I want you to notice something about our sacraments. We have two sacraments. The first was baptism, and the first is baptism, and that focuses largely on water. And Pastor Sharon talked with us about how we need water to survive, that this is an important part of not only our spiritual growth, but just our physical well-being. And I want you to notice that in our second sacrament, has to do with nourishment. It has to do with sustenance. So not only does our second sacrament have to do with something that we need to keep ourselves alive, but it also has to do with how we are nourished as people, whether that's of the body or of the spirit. I'm going to put these back now in case I get too tempted to fling stuff at people. And I want you to notice, and I don't think it's a coincidence, that both of our sacraments have to do with things that we need to survive. And if you read the Bible cover to cover, I think you're going to notice a theme in a lot of the stories. You're going to notice a disproportionate amount of the time the stories revolve around either water, nourishment, or both. Just off the top of my head, I can think of, Abraham. When he had the three travelers that were coming by, they had a great feast. There was food aplenty. And when the Israelites had gotten out of Egypt, they're walking in the deserts. They're just famished and they need water to survive. And God gives them that water when Moses cracks that rock open and the people get what they need. And even in the stories told by Jesus, I think of the story of the prodigal son. When the son returns to the father, they throw a great feast. Because the father thinks, and the father can now see his son come back when he thought that he had lost this important person in his life forever. And over and over and over again, I could keep going on, we see in our scriptures that they center themselves around these times of water and nourishment in our lives. Our scripture shows us that nourishment and water are important things, not only because we need them to survive, but because so many aspects of our lives revolve around them. I don't know about you, but I have many fond memories of coming around the dinner table with my family. Back in my childhood, every Sunday night, we would go to a little restaurant down on the south side of Tucson. My mom, my dad, my grandma, and myself. And we would order the same thing. Week in, week out. We always had the same waitress. She still knows me to this day. She's still there. And this was a time where my family got to ground ourselves. We got to have this time set apart with us. Just us. So that we could be with each other. And I really, really cherished this time because we came together for a time that was just for us. It was a centering point for our entire week until we did that again. Now, I know that probably not everybody here can directly understand or have an exact experience of what I was just describing, but I'm sure that you can all think of a time when either you were with family, with friends, where you sat around a table. You were there with each other, and you experienced not just a nourishment of the body, but a nourishment of the soul. Because when we come together, when we spend time in the company of others, when we have a meal together, we bond together in ways that I don't think anything else can. When we share a meal, it can help to lift us up. And sharing a meal can also strengthen us. And it can let us know that we are cared for by others. And I think most importantly, sharing a meal can be a profound, profound way to let somebody else know that you care about them. And sharing a meal, it's not like this is anything new. It happens all the time. And in our scripture this morning, this is exactly where we find ourselves. By the time we reach this point in the Gospel of Mark, where we are at the Last Supper, the disciples are already know for sure that Jesus cares about them. There's no doubt there. He's been pouring his wisdom and his love into these people for the better part of 3 years. But Jesus knows something. We also know it too, that the disciples at that time did not. That this time of sharing, this time of being together in this fullness was going to quickly be coming to an end. This was going to be the last time that they were all going to be able to be around that table together. This would be the last time that they got to tell stories and laugh. And Jesus knew that this is what was going to be the case. And I have to imagine that this was pretty bittersweet for him. He hadn't yet shared with them the full truth of this night. And I don't think that he was all that anxious to tell them, but he had to. He had to share with his friends where things were going to go from here. I like to think that for most of the meal, that Jesus was sitting back, pretty quiet, smiling, taking in his friends' laughter, valuing this time of just being present with each other, and valuing these last moments that they would be in community all together, that they would have the joy of being in community. But beyond this, this meal has even greater significance to the people in the story, to the disciples and to Jesus both, because this was also the Passover meal. This was the meal where the Jewish people gathered around the table to tell the story about how God had saved them from slavery in the oppressive land of Egypt. This is the meal where Jewish people told about how God had worked in their lives, how God had intervened for them to save them. And here he was, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, sitting around a table of friends talking about the history of their people. But instead of the meal following the typical ritual fashion, Christ did something drastically different towards the end of the meal. Instead of talking about how God passed over the homes of the Jewish slaves, Jesus decided to share something special with his friends. He took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of heaven." And there it was. Jesus shared the news that he did not probably want to share, that news that would be very painful to everybody in the room, that this would be their last meal together. This was the last time they would all be around this table, because Jesus was going to be leaving them and fulfilling his destiny as the suffering servant that would save his people, prophesied about by the prophet Isaiah. And this might sound like bad news, that you lose a friend, but I can tell you, my friends, that there is not bad news in this. This is good news. Along with Jesus sharing that he was not going to be with them any longer, he also shared a ray of hope. "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many." Jesus, being the Son of God, changed the way in which God interacted with humanity. Salvation was no longer just for the Jews. Salvation was to be for all of humankind. And in this moment, Christ started with humankind a new covenant between people and God. A covenant based on following the love found in having a relationship with God, rather than following the letter of the law that is impossible for us each to fulfill. Grace became an active part of our world and our lives through the gift that Christ was making of himself, that he was sharing with his disciples right then. And in that meal, Christ brought the disciples that walked on earth together with him to prepare them for the reality of what was coming. Christ would be leaving those disciples to take the cross, but he wanted them to know that just because this was going to happen, it didn't mean that they were going to be truly losing him. He would always be with them through this meal. By eating this meal that we now call communion, the disciples became a part of the new covenant with God. Jesus was calling his friends in to prepare them to be sent out. The world was about to take a dramatic change, a drastically different change towards them, and I think that Christ wanted to make sure that his beloved friends were prepared for the trials ahead. And we, my friends, are called today to enter into and live lives of this same covenant. This meal that was given on that night was not offered at just that point. It wasn't offered just to the disciples that were there at the moment. It was offered and is offered to us as well. That meal was offered to those, all those who would be at the church in all periods of time. Through the communion table, Christ called not just the original disciples, but calls us as well. Christ calls us to partake in the same meal as the first disciples. Christ calls us to come and know the truth and the grace that this new covenant has brought to the world. Jesus calls us to Him. Jesus calls us away from all of our distractions, from all of those things in our lives that take us away from being able to fully live out who we are as children of God. And luckily for us, this call to follow Christ, to take part in the new covenant, is not something that we are only called to partake in one time. We do not just partake in this supper just once, and that's it for the rest of our lives. We are continually called to the table to receive the grace of God, because we are forever in need of the grace of God. There is not a time where we do not need the love that God offers to each and every one of us. We constantly need to experience the grace of God in our lives, because our lives are always changing and our situations are always evolving. The call to the table of Christ is always there for us because of the need that we have for the grace that is present. We always need more nourishment for our journey and our walk with God, because we live in a world that is always going to be testing our resolve to follow Christ to the best that we can. We are always going to be confronted with places and situations in which it will be difficult to follow God. And there will be times where we will fail to be the people that God calls us to be. And Jesus knows that and chooses to love us just the same. Jesus accepts us all for the faults that we have and loves us anyways. Through this meal, Jesus prepares us to go out into the world just as this meal prepared those first disciples. In just a few minutes, we will be partaking, we will be celebrating in this great meal together. We will be taking part in a renewal of the covenant between God and humans through Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you choose to participate in this meal, that you place your mind in the space of the first time that this meal happened. Imagine that Christ is eating at the table with you. And you can tell that there is something different about this meal from all the other meals you have shared. You can tell that instead of just having food together, that Jesus is offering to you true grace and pure love from the very essence of His being. As you receive the bread and the fruit of the vine, embrace the fullness of what is being offered by God to you. You are taking into yourself the love that God has for you and making it a part of your very being. Hear the good news, my friends. This meal, the new covenant, is a gift to us from Jesus, so that we may experience the grace that has been given to us, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is. That even though we will fall short of the mark of serving God perfectly, that Jesus' love for us is one constant thing that we can always depend on. When we come to the table, we are approaching God at God's invitation, so that we can be renewed and filled with grace for the journey that we have ahead of us. Because, my friends, God loves us and wants to see us sharing that love with the world on the journey that is placed before us. Amen.